Tape 3, Side 1. National Council of Jewish Women, Pittsburgh Section, Oral History. My name is Mildred J. Menlo. With my colleague, Ruth Weiner, we are interviewing Mr. Hans Jonas. Today, January 24th, 1996. Would you like to discuss some...
After Giddings?
Yes.
Which is, has to be about 30, 35 years ago, I'm guessing. And after that, it was just normal. The studio showed signs of growth, and we hired some extra people. We had a full-time retoucher. We had a full-time printer. And it just went on very nicely. And in 51, I was married. And after that, my father and I once or twice did go on a lecture series where we went to various conventions to demonstrate, because he was primarily a specialist for women and photographed brides, and our major business at that time was bridal photography and debutante parties, which were great in the 50s and even stretched into the 60s. At the time, there was a group out of one of the hospitals, I think St. Margaret's, and their volunteers organized what they called the Cinderella Ball.
Yes, sir.
Okay. And the Cinderella Ball was all WASP. There were no Jews involved. There was one Jewish girl that did...
Yes, sir.
Those were girls whose families were obviously socially prominent. And the party was always December 22nd. It was always at the William Penn Hotel. And you had to be asked. And they would pick girls from Ellis and Winchester and Mount Mercy Academy. And even though there were Jewish girls in those schools, Jewish girls were never asked. And so that was part of the business.
And there was one Jewish girl.
One Jewish girl did participate once. She was from Ellis. I forgot her name. And then in the 60s, it was the ladies' hospital aide, either from Montefiore or somewhere, that organized exactly the same thing, but only Jewish girls. And they ran it for about 3 or 4 years. And I can't remember what they called it, but it'll come to me. Because we photographed that too. And they got the same guy to run the cotillion who ran the one for the Cinderella Ball. To give you an update, they always limited to 50 girls. And the social secretary from Rolling Rock and Pittsburgh Golf Club, they were the ones who decided who is going to be invited. And then they would invite groups of young men to be the escorts. And they were Shady Side Academy and... you know, that group.
Excuse me.
Hello.
Anyway, and one of the reasons we did this was all of these girls are going to be getting married in the next 2 or 3 years. So they were all between 17 and 18 years old, seniors in high school, and very, very cliquish, very, very clannish. But to give you the update, it's 1996, and last year was the first time they canceled it. They didn't have a Cinderella Ball last year. Mm. And why? Because the girls don't want to do it anymore.
That's interesting.
And in the old days, you know, you could coerce your daughter to do things that your daughter did what you told her to.
This was the social thing.
That's right. And now they can't even... The year before, I think they had about a dozen girls, and then this last year they could only get four or five, and they canceled it. It's over. It's a sign of the times.
Sure.
And but the Jewish equivalent to this, and I have the pictures. I have the negatives. There were about maybe a dozen or two dozen girls, and they did it for a few years. It was a fundraiser, and they don't want to do it either. And it's the young people don't want to. It's silly. The Catholic bishop, Bishop Worrell, and the bishop before him do the medallion ball, but that's different. It has nothing to do with social standing. Each participant has to volunteer their time at a hospital or a similar facility.
I understand.
And you have to put in 1,000 hours, and then you can participate in the medallion ball. And there were Jewish girls in there. There were Gentile girls, either Catholic or Protestant, and it was fine. And the money from that goes to the blind. St. Lucia and the Blind Association benefit from this. And it goes on today. And they have a large number of people.
Well, that's a different base.
Right. And they have it at the Hilton, and they'll have 1,000 for dinner or 2,000. And yeah. And they'll have about 100, 150 people, young women, also in that age, 17, 18, 16, 17, 18 years old. And they do it, and they're still viable, and they're doing fine. But the Cinderella Ball is gone.
Couldn't happen to nicer people.
And it was always the same. They had a huge pumpkin, which was obviously, you know, it was not a real pumpkin, it was decoration. All the girls' names were put into this pumpkin. There was a string on each one of those names. And then they would pull out who would be Prince Charming. From this, I mean, you know, it's tacky, but that's the way it went. And all the old guard used to come and sit up in the balcony at the William Penn Hotel and watch this. You know, all of them. And they were fine. And, you know, I don't fault them for not including Jews because they don't need us, truthfully. You know, they don't. They have enough friends. They only talk to each other. They used to intermarry. Of course, that's why they're so smart. And and they, in those days, in the 40s and the 50s, they just didn't go outside of their own social circle. Now it's different. Now their children and grandchildren go to college and out of the city, and they meet other people from various walks of life. And that's where intermarriage comes from. But they also found out that we don't have horns.
Yeah. It's been a leveling experience.
Oh, yes. I did a wedding many years ago. Very socially prominent family in city. The reception was at home. Huge house. Long bloodline. One of the ushers was Jewish. And he was explaining to the bride's mother the relationship that exists between in-laws among Jews. Very interesting. And she wanted to know, because he said that there is a relationship now established between two young people's families who marry, machatonim, more than just in-law that you send them a Christmas card once a year. There is a real relationship. And that is, it's not like a cousin, it's not like a nephew, it's machatonim. And he was explaining this to this woman, who obviously didn't know anything about that, that there was a true relationship established between those two parents whose children married. You know, it's going on from here. I'm not thrilled with intermarriage. I don't like it. They don't like it either.
No.
But on the other hand, it opens up your thinking process to the other side. How do they know you're any good? If you have common grandchildren, now they find out that you're really not that bad. So if there is anything to be said for intermarriage, that would be the only sort of redeeming feature of it. For the same token, you could say, what did Hitler do for the Jews? He did something for the Jews. He made you realize that you no matter what you say to everybody else, you're still Jewish. He categorized you. If you had grandparents that were Jewish on either side, you are Jewish. I don't care how many times you baptized yourself, and made you stick together. Maybe that's what Hitler's mission was.
Oh, I don't think he intended.
No, of course not. But on the other hand, he did solidify us, and the German Jews won't look down on the Poles anymore, and the Yugoslavians, and the Bulgarian Jews. You know, the German Jews used to stand up there and look down. Oh, you're from Bulgaria. You must be a peasant son or something. Yeah? Anyway, the studio was fine, and in 1970, my father died. And
his name I forgot.
Herman, H-E-R-M-A-N. And my mother and I kept it going. And in 75 she died very suddenly. She really died in 15 seconds. I remember the day, and I just finished the sitting, and I came out of the camera room, and our receptionist said, there's a phone call you from Florida. And this man came on the phone, and he says, I'm Sergeant whatever his name was from the police department. I hate to tell you this, but your mother just died. And I thought it was one of my friends who was playing a joke, because I had friends in Florida. But he said that she stayed at the same hotel all the time, and she had a corner room, and she went down to get her mail and came up, and then she wasn't down for lunch, so they went upstairs to see what was wrong, and they found her on the floor, and she was gone. And the man and the police said that she opened her mail and just dropped over, and that was it. And if you have a way to go, that's the way to go.
That's the way to go. It's a terrible shock for them.
Oh, yes. I mean, it was unbelievable. So, and then in, that was in 75, and in 79 I moved to South Craig Street. We'd been in East Liberty for 40 years, and one of the CEOs of one of the companies that we photographed continuously said to me, why are you here? And I said, what do you mean, why am I here? He said, I mean, this is such a terrible neighborhood. I said, I don't think so. And he said, well, tonight before you go home, go across the street and look at this. And that's when we started to look. Next door to us was one of the most, was a very ethical jewelry store, fourth generation in the same spot, Henny, H-E-N-N-E, you know, been around. This is the fifth generation now. And they had been next door to the studio since the Spanish-American War. As a matter of fact, there's a picture of a whole battalion or company or something standing in front of the store that they have. And we had the same type of clientele. So we decided that we would try to move together. And this was shortly after my mother died. And so for 2 years we looked. And we thought that it would be very good if we could be next door to each other and the way we were in East Liberty. And of course we wanted to go to Shadyside because that was hot. And there was no place. And there was a photographer in Shadyside named Caleo, with a C, C-L-A-O or something. And Jack Henney was going to rent a space from him. He says, but before I do, you know him, why don't you call him up and see if he will sell us the building? Because Mr. Caleo had a studio on the second floor, and on the first floor there was retail space, and we'll buy it together. So I called him up, and I said to him, he was Italian, he had a very thick accent, and he never liked any other photographer, but he got along with my father, because my father had an accent. So they talked to each other. And they were totally different businesses. Caleo was in school photography, so they were not competitors or... I called him up and I said, Mr. Caleo, how would you like to retire? Jack Henney and I would like to buy your building, and I would go upstairs and he would be downstairs, and we could even have a common receptionist. We could do something. So he said, well, let me think about it. He called me back a few days later and he says, you know, I'm almost like your father because this is the only thing that I do, except your father had children. I have nobody. It's my wife and my dog and I. And if I couldn't come here every day, where would I do? What would I do? Where would I go? So I said, well, I talked to Izzy Benstock, and I said, Izzy, what do you think about this? I was going to say to Mr. Caleo, well, you'll come and we'll give you a little dark room and you can play in there. He says, no, you can't do this. Either he's out or he's not out. I mean, you just can't. It's like, then what? How do you get rid of him? You know? So I said, no. And we left it that way. Jack Henney, in the meantime, couldn't wait any longer. And in 78, he did rent the space from him, and he went there. And then I kept looking for something for myself, and this place where I am became available. And there was an artist in there and his wife, and June's aunt called me and said, you know, they want to sell it. There's no negotiation of the price. This is it. And if you want it, fine. If you don't, somebody else will do it. So I looked at it and I said, well, you know, it's close to what I really want. It's not where I want to be because South Drake Street isn't Shadyside, but it doesn't matter. Everybody knows where it is. It's between the museum and St. Paul's Cathedral. So if you don't know one, you know the other. And moved there in 79, and it's been fine. The street is nice. It is not like Shadyside because it's very small street. And there are permanent things in there, like Pitt has a building across the street, and to the left of that, the Pittsburgh Blind Association. And the rest of it is occupied by unique retail stores. If you wanted a sweater from Ireland, there's the Irish Design Center. Very nice young man. He goes to Ireland 3 times a year. If you want something, he'll have it made for you. Other gift shops. Good card shops, a few good restaurants. Unique things. And it's been fine. I enjoy it. I'm there every day. I go Sunday morning. Nobody bothers me. I can do what I want. And then 10 years ago, we moved into here. We were finished with the house. The children were out. We didn't need 5 bedrooms. So I said, fine, let's move into the Park Plaza. It's right across the street from the studio. And I said, no, that's too much. It's too close. No, you'll never come home. You'll be there all the time. So Jim did not want to go into an apartment with elevators and all that. She wanted something. So this came up, and it looked good. And there are 4 apartments in here. We redid this one. And then the other 2 downstairs are rented, and the 3rd one is rented too, and it's fine. Works. Works for me.
That's the important thing.
Right. Where to?
One of the things they ask is what you perceive as your significant accomplishments.
I'm not finished yet.
I know. So far. Let me say it that way. So far. Aside from children and grandchildren. That's
all. Well, children and family and grandchildren. And the end of this year will be 50 years that I photographed my first wedding.
I was among the first.
Oh, yeah. Well, how long ago were you?
About 48.
Yeah. Jack Donahue.
You were very cute and young.
Oh, yeah, we all were.
Yes, I guess so.
I was out of the Army about 4 or 5 days, 6 days. And, you know, you're 20 years old and you know everything. And my father said to me, well, if you're so smart, why don't you come with me to this wedding and you can take the pictures? I'll stand there and make sure you're doing all right. And it was Rodora and Jack Donahue, who was still in the Air Force, and he was married December 26, 1956, and I think it was at St. Bede's, and then the reception was at the Shenley Hotel.
Oh, God.
And in those days, Catholics could not get married past noon, so they always had a wedding breakfast, and I took the pictures there. And this December 26th, he'll be married 50 years. Last year, I photographed his granddaughter's wedding. So I was nervous. I was nervous. I just, you know, it was just very traumatic. Reception was at Rolling Rock. And when he got up to make a toast, everybody, you know, was listening to him, and he congratulated his granddaughter, his first grandchild, to marry. And then he said, if you all look to your right, you'll see somebody, a young man who's trying to take my picture. and mentioned his wedding. They're good people, and they have been also very good to the Jewish community. He was with Bishop Wuerl and the fellow from Westinghouse, John Morris. They went on a mission to Israel, or somehow the Jewish community in Pittsburgh took them on this mission, and they were extremely impressed, and I think a forest was started in Bishop Wuerl's name, and it was nice.
I heard Wuerl speak after his return.
Right. See, they have to go there and see it. And then they have to go to Lebanon and see what's there.
Oh.
So, and they're very good people. They have 13 children, I think, and 88 grandchildren, and every day it grows. And I enjoy that kind of relationship. They're quite often now, people will come in and say, you know, my daughter's getting married, and you did my wedding 34 years ago. And it's fun. No, I can't. Maybe pediatricians have that kind of relationship. You don't need me all the time, but when you do, I'm here. And it's interesting, and it keeps you going. And then the other thing is that there are so many changes all the time in the material and the cameras and the lenses, and the concept is not different, but the materials change. So there's always an upgrading. There's a continuous education process, if you will, that keeps you interested. And if you're not interested, then it's time to, sell it or get out. But I am still interested, and I'm always developing new methods. And the moment it's accomplished, then I want to go on, and I want to see what else there is. I developed a new lighting system 20 years ago that I have a patent on, a device. And in the last 20 years, we've upgraded it to where it is what it is now, and I'm not satisfied. So that more or less makes us current, and I will be 70 at the end of this year, December 25th. On the 26th is the Donahue party. And
you'll have a double celebration.
Oh, absolutely. My daughter, Marla, is in the studio now, and she is in a learning process, as I am too. It doesn't end.
But she's interested.
And she is interested. She was with me 10 years ago, and then she really didn't want to do this. So I said, fine, go ahead, do whatever you want. And what she does is she's a teacher, and she works for the film industry. When films are made in Pittsburgh or in the area that have children in them, those children have to be educated. So they hire teachers that are on the set and wait for that child to come off a shoot so that they can sit and teach them algebra and English. Mm-hmm. She just finished a Sharon Stone movie that was done in Pittsburgh. There were 7 teachers that worked for her because there were 35 extras. It was for a movie about a boys' school. So, and last year, about 16 months ago, one of our people in the studio quit, and I needed help right away, so she came to help out. And after that, she said, I'd like to come back permanently. And I said, fine, with the proviso that if a film company comes in and wants her for 6 weeks, I would let her go. And I said, that's all right, because I did all right without her, and I'll do all right with her. And she has taken to it very well, and she's an extremely fast study, and she has good background. She has art background, and she has the ability to relate to the people, which is very important. And she's starting to shoot for herself too. As a matter of fact, tomorrow night she's doing some volunteer work for that Race for the Cure. So she does all the pictures for that, and she did it last year, and strictly as a volunteer. It gives a good experience, it gives her, and she's been in the studio, and it's fine, but she already told me, I don't want to work like you 7 days a week. I just don't want to. I said, fine, you don't have to. I choose this. And because on Sunday, if I go in Sunday morning, there's nobody there. I don't have to answer the phone. And if I want to do experiments, or if I want to run tests, or if I want to do anything, I have free access to the color darkroom, to the black and white darkroom. And I don't have that during the week. Because during the week, that darkroom has to produce finished prints. So, I'm well, which is luck. And so I don't have to quit or slow down or anything of that sort. I don't... We don't take as many weddings as we did in the 40s and 50s because the business has changed. I do corporate photography, you know, portraits, family groups, children, and weddings and bar mitzvahs and are part of it, but not the major part as it was in 1949 or 50 or 55, where we didn't do anything but weddings. As a matter of fact, my father said to me, "You want to get married? You have to get married during Lent." It's true. I wanted to get married April 1st. No, I'm sorry, you can't get married April 1st, because that was like, that in 51, Lent was over already. So I had to get married, we were married February 25th, that was during Lent. So yeah, I could go away on a honeymoon. You know? So.
You have, because of your relationship with these various groups, with your work, do you see major changes socially and culturally in Pittsburgh when you started?
Absolutely. I'm going to say this to you in a nice way. In the 40s and 50s, there was no question as to whether the Mellons, the Scaves, W.C. Robinson, the Hillman, no, forget about the Hillmans, the Hilliards, and the Hillmans, and the old guard, the old...
End of side one, tape three, continued on side two.
Have their children